Hi. Thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a more positive, successful direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will find helpful today, and some you will tuck away in your vanity drawer for when the time comes that you may need it. This week's tool is gender, and why it is important to reshape how we have grown to understand gender as it is experiencing a fluidity not seen before. Okay, so let's start with what we mean by gender. When I started doing the research for today's show, it was daunting to understand it all. And that is also the point of today's show as well. You can't possibly know it all. So the easiest thing to do is be respectful. If you are curious, ask if it is okay to ask questions. But most of all, does it really matter if someone is gender fluid, genderqueer, androgynous, intersex, pansexual, transgender? Although written for clinicians, the book Mindfulness and Acceptance for Gender and Sexual Minorities by Dr. Matthew Skinta tells us that gender and sexual minorities face unique concerns that are actually more likely to want to seek therapeutic help due to the greater levels of psychological distress. If many psychologists don't feel adequately educated or efficacious discussing topics related to sexuality and gender in clinical practice, then clearly the layman will encounter even more challenges. In essence, what we are embarking upon as a society is gentrification of gender, learning to be polite, to improve our processes of communication and acceptance of diversity. The best place to start is right at home. The book, The Conscious Parent's Guide to Gender Identity by Darlene Tando, was written for parents of children questioning their gender identity, but it is an excellent resource to help parents navigate this topic with kids to develop compassion and understanding of the complexities of the issue of gender. Gender stereotyping in general is falling by the wayside, and more research shows that it limits children. In an article I wrote that was published in Healthy New Albany magazine with our sister media outlet City Scene Media Group states that when it comes to identity, gender is so foundational that it is one of the first questions we ask when someone is pregnant. Is it a boy or is it a girl? Science does tell us that there are some differences in boys and girls' brains insofar as the differences in the X and the Y chromosome and some of it related to hormones such as testosterone as early as fetal life. But this should not, however, mean that anyone is better, stronger, smarter, or that boys will be boys. Those ideas have nothing to do with nature and everything to do with nurture. We must raise awareness of our tendencies to label in order to avoid doing it. Only when we bring things into awareness do we develop the ability to exercise control over it. So, ask yourself, what labels are you currently placing on the boys, men, girls, women in your life, or those in the LGBTQ community? And you can find all the books and the articles mentioned in our program on our webpage at wcbe.org, as well as our podcasts. And you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, as well as U Inc. Radio. Another book to help you if you are feeling as if you are overwhelmed by feelings of confusion and uncertainty surrounding your gender identity, or you know someone who is and you want to help, is You and Your Gender Identity, A Guide to Discovery, and it is the groundbreaking book that helps readers gain more clarity about their gender along a step-by-step journey of self-discovery. Written by Dara Hoffman Fox, it takes you through the three stages of gender questioning: preparation, reflection, and exploration. In general, however, let us remember to not be afraid to just be a friend, a lover, a global citizen, a colleague, a co-lifer, a source of support and acceptance. That is what we all want and deserve from each other. Gender is between your ears and not between your legs. And that is a quote from Chaz Bono, an American advocate, writer, musician, and actor. He is the child of American entertainers Sonny Bono and Cher and is a transgender man.
Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go.
Jophiel Monroe is the creative director at Prism Magazine, has extensive visual merchandising experience with L Brands, creative director at Staley Designs, photographer at Buckeye Lifestyle, artist, activist, actress, former art director at Manufacture New York, and worked at New York Fashion Week. With a highly intuitive mind for big picture development and team leadership, Ms. Monroe thrives as a trusted provider of photography production, implementing services of photo out, direction, production, event coordination, studio management, and photo retouching to a wide range of clientele, including fashion photographers, magazine publications, talent agencies, small businesses, and major brands such as America's Got Talent, Victoria's Secret, Express, and The Limited. She is also an advocate and a well-recognized voice of trans rights and lives in Columbus with her boyfriend Andrew and their fur baby Bones. Welcome, Staley.
Thank you for having me.
So I have to tell you, I recently saw this Instagram video that you posted of the neighborhood kids singing to you because they see you as Elsa. Yeah. That is so cute. Do you get serenaded like that every day?
I either get I think that was the first time I got the song in full force. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's like the Muppets. All the windows in the whole house just open and they go, "Hi, Elsa," at the top of their lungs. And that just came from a lot of my house dresses that I wear around the house are blue and flowy. And I have this long white hair that I usually wear in a braid when I'm at home, so it's out of my way. And I take my dogs for a walk, and so they see me walking around the neighborhood and think I'm Elsa.
But that's Elsa.
It's a trend that I get anytime I wear blue with a braid.
I love it.
Anyone could right. If you're blonde with blue and a braid. There you go.
I love it. So I was wondering, do they know that you're trans?
You know, it's interesting. Children have a mixed range of reactions. Earlier in my transition, before I was considered less passable is the word, which has some debate around the positivity or negativity of that word. Mm-hmm. But just for conversation's sake,
sure.
When I was less passable, I think children had questions, mm-hmm. or what I would notice, they would look at me very kind of oddly, which is interesting because children don't lie. They're just very transparent about how they feel. And maybe they would tug on their mother's skirt and say, "Mommy." But then as I became more passable, they just were fascinated with my height or mm-hmm. my hair or my very glamorous clothes. And until one time, a little girl came running up to me and tugged on my skirt and she said, "Which princess are you?"
Aww.
And that's when I felt like I had arrived.
Nice.
You know, I don't know any woman who doesn't want to hear that.
Sure.
And I had a little tear in my eye. But there was another conversation where I'll get feedback from parents about the opportunity that my, I guess, existence, mm-hmm. you know, in their world becomes for them to have a conversation about it with their kids.
Right.
And how sometimes the kids are more mature and simple about it than adults can be.
Yep.
And a little boy and his sister are the niece and nephew to a very dear friend of mine. I was over dropping something off and said hello to them. And she relayed later to me that the little boy said, "She's so big. And was she a boy?"
Mm-hmm.
And he was maybe all of 7 years old. And then his 6-year-old sister just looked at him and said, "Well, if so, he just wants to be pretty."
Aww.
And it was just like, you know,
it's innocent.
It's just totally innocent. Mm-hmm. Well, don't you want to be pretty too? And again, that was a few years ago. So children kind of give me a mixed bag, but it's always wonderful. I've never gotten hatred from
sure.
a child. I've never gotten, you know, any kind of transphobia,
right.
If they even have a language for that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that term before, but
yeah.
I mean, now that we see what's going on contemporarily, it might be something that's going to come up.
Sure.
Yep.
I think, too, the media has certainly presented a lot of cases of, the bathroom bills
mm-hmm.
and various, you know, state-to-state legislation, like what we see in Texas, where there are different laws and different school systems are making different stands
mm-hmm.
on whether or not students can use the bathroom or the locker room that they most identify with, and all the different precautions or elements to that are in place so that everyone feels safe and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, I know that I can only speak from my brand of trans, which is something that I always like to say up front, mm-hmm. that my opinions are just that. They're mine. And I can't speak for the entire trans community, but mm-hmm. I do my best
yep.
to try and just reflect what I have come to know and what I've heard and how we feel, or certainly how I feel. And in most cases, a lot of trans children, they're not in there to for any lecherous or inappropriate reasons. And in many cases, they want to be isolated or alone or change in a stall or yeah. behind a curtain. And what adolescent typically doesn't want to,
right.
what,
right.
you know, especially if you are struggling with daily crippling body dysmorphia,
sure,
that is so fundamental to your reality. It's a very rare case, and I don't even think that there are any documented cases of, you know, a legitimately transgender person mm-hmm. who was well and just going about their lives having any illegal or pedophilic or, you
right.
know, kind of encounters.
Oh, no.
It just doesn't happen.
Right, right.
In fact, there are more cases where conservative yes. leaders have yes. been caught in those situations
absolutely.
Than trans people.
Have you ever had someone who found out in post somehow and maybe changed their opinion of you? Have you had that experience?
Well, I've, you know, I had a moment with myself, if you will, when I realized that I was becoming passable enough that I could do as some trans people choose to do and pack up and relocate and change my name and make new friends and just kind of start over mm-hmm. and live life the way that I wanted to live it,
right.
but not be honest about my transition, or maybe a better word is not be transparent or open about my transition. There are some trans people that choose to do that. They choose to assimilate into, you know, cis normative society.
Right.
As a caveat, cisgender just means someone who agrees with the gender they were assigned at birth and
right.
identifies as that. It's not a negative term.
Right.
And someone who is not trans, if you will, you know, they just want to assimilate. And that's okay. I think that for many safety reasons, when your healthcare and when your housing and when your employment and when your family and when your relationships are so much at risk, I can respect someone's choice to do that. But I felt personally for myself that I had an obligation to live openly and honestly about my transition so that I could try and make some difference in the very conservative and in many cases religious circles that I rolled in to try and bridge this gap and build bridges to normalize and bring to light the realities mm-hmm. of this incredible, incredible community, and also to bring some justice and reconciliation to the people group. So because I've lived openly as trans, and I'm anyone who knows me, I'm pretty much a whirlwind anywhere I go. I'm very creative and loud.
Very
and
true.
I'm tall and I have tattoos. So I'm not really about hiding who I am to begin with, which I think is in many ways is a good thing, because then your very identity becomes a filter for judgmental people around you. And if people treat you poorly off of that, well, you just save the time and
right.
space or maybe money of months of relational equity.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So it did happen, and it has happened when in some cases I would either be fetishized when they found out I was trans, or I think on the one hand, sometimes they would listen to my ideas more because I used to be a man in their mind.
I was going to ask you about that. I was like,
you had the unique
opportunity
yes.
to live life as both. And I was wondering, just like, do you experience sexism as a woman?
Very much. And
it is for real.
Yes, it is fascinating. And I speak on a lot of panels mm-hmm. to the credibility of, you know, this perspective of male privilege, or those ideas, the word privilege is so hated by many people who have it because
yeah.
they want to say, well, I don't have privilege. But it's more of there are either opportunities or advantages that you can have. So I kind of refer to it as male advantage. And I know that I watched that dissipate. The more feminine I became as I gained weight and became softer and my voice higher and, you know, all that changed, I became objectified a great deal more. People did not give me leadership roles like they used to.
I think women around the world are collectively saying thank you.
Yeah, it is very real. Male privilege and white male privilege and everything mm-hmm. and all of those systemic issues are very real. And especially then, like I said, being transgender, I think in some cases I was just the token trans girl rather than, but do you just see me and the talents and the leadership and
right.
the opportunities that I bring mm-hmm. to this table? So just like some people can be, you're the token woman on the board.
Gotcha.
You know, so go speak to the girls and we'll handle the rest.
So speaking of your talents, So recently, Outlook shuttered its doors because of the editor-in-chief was arrested or accused of whatever, criminal allegations. And so now there's Prism moving into the market. I read kind of the bio, and you're the creative director. Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the fun projects you're doing for them.
It's very exciting. And, you know, yeah, there was a real void left in the community that we recognized we wanted to fill.
And Chad Fry moved away too.
Right. And you know, to everyone on the old Outlook team, we just wish them the very best and want everyone to be, you know, happy and healthy. And
sure.
Prism is its completely own enterprise. It really is not, you know, it's not trying to do anything but to fill a void.
Yep.
And to and also on a statewide level. So it's not just Columbus, it's Cincinnati and Cleveland and Dayton and Toledo and everywhere else you can imagine, trying to call out the gold and kind of be a resource, an uplifting voice for the greater Ohio LGBTQ community. And it has a focus on connecting people, causes, resources, and organizations, and telling stories with a journalistic, informative content and an artistic edge. And that's where I stepped in as a creative director, is they wanted to go in a very different direction than I think I have ever seen in Ohio. And I grew up in Columbus and went to New York and then to California and came back. So I brought this breadth of experience and what I had seen that's very normal in other places, that it's like Ohio is considered too conservative to have more of an art-driven or artistic styled modern magazine. And so we're kind of changing that game, and we launch October 1st.
Okay.
And so I want to
print and digital.
Yes.
Okay, it's great.
And absolutely, we're going to be distributed all over the state, and we have incredible partners, as we are, you know, we're backed by Equitas Health, and I just could not say enough wonderful things about the mission and the work that Equitas has and does. And to be affiliated with it in any regard is just such an honor.
Sure.
They're really changing lives for the better and making the world a healthier, safer, better place to live, a safer place to live, just making a true difference. And mm-hmm. so I like to be with the movers and shakers, and Prism is going to be just that. We are even now working on the October issue and the content that we have to choose from, just the outpouring of support and ideas, everything from, we kind of say, you know, high-low, from the CEOs of these major organizations or senators and leaders and people running for public office, down to grassroots organizations that are starting community gardens in this podunk town for gender nonconforming kids to have a safe place to be together.
That's
and to do
great.
Some
great.
It's just like, love this it. Is amazing.
And yeah, those are great stories that need to be told.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially if we love to find the talented kids who maybe feel stifled within the smaller towns.
Sure.
Or they feel alone, and give a spotlight to them and say, no, be proud you're from Beaver Creek. And if you're writing music or sewing ball gowns in, you know, your parents' basement or garage, we want to know about you.
I love it.
And we love seeing you.
Looking forward to seeing that.
It's going to be great.
So you worked for Victoria's Secret some time, and I used to have a friend who worked at Vogue, and she told me that you had to wear heels every day. Was there a pressure to dress up at that job, I wonder?
Well, I there was nothing official. Like, there wasn't necessarily anything in the dress code. But I did notice, I mean, you kind of pick up very quickly that all of the, it's like the higher up, the executive branch you go. And I no longer work for them, so I want to specify that.
Okay.
So don't come after me, you know, anybody out there. But yeah, the higher up the women, the more chic the haircuts, the higher the heel, beautiful jewelry. And I mean, it was like, all right, I get it. So I did.
Okay.
I certainly wore, and I'm 5'11 flat on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
So when I wear high heels, I really show up.
Yep.
But I was, you know, I'm kind of happy to do it, because I think I spent so many years being told to dress more masculine that I kind of love to get all dressed up.
Nice.
So it was fun for me. But yeah, your friend would be right. The higher the wig, you know, the bigger the wig, the higher the heel.
So we talking about, you do a lot of interviews. I kind of see you everywhere, which is really, really great. So sometimes I wonder, like, sometimes it'll be like, hey, are you going to the Greek festival?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just because I'm Greek doesn't mean you have to. And I recently did this training. Speaking of insurance giants doing great trainings, there was a training that I did with a company. And someone was going through the transition. It said mm-hmm. that they wanted to start being called a different name. And everyone was really supportive. But
that's great.
They want us to come in and do a training and just reassure people and, you know, just talk to everyone. And one of the things that I said was, you know, it's good to ask questions, but, you know, also do the research yourself and read a book, and don't constantly use that kind of that cheat way to constantly keep asking questions if you want. Sure. There's so many different, and like you said, you're just one voice. But the person, and overwhelmingly what I've seen, that people are really happy to answer those questions. So
typically,
right. So how do you feel about people coming to you and asking you like to be the authority?
I always say, if you're going to come correct. So when people come to me with an open mind and I can tell they have genuine questions, especially if they have some relational equity with me. And this is the term that I think is very important whenever we're discussing differences and whenever we're discussing challenging topics, from politics to, you know, these personal issues of gender identity. Sometimes even loved ones where you have plenty of relational equity. You have a relationship with them outside of the specific context or work, or you know that they care about you as a person. And when they are genuinely nervous, I don't want to offend you, and I'm learning about this, and this is really new to me, because it is a paradox shift. Once upon a time, common sense said, well, if a man puts on a dress, it's just crazy. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make common sense. And now it's you have to have a paradox shift that gender can change,
right?
And that lives can change. And so I try and establish in any of my talks that we all go through transitions, and how you are not the same person that you were if you went through a divorce or a death or a change of job or a change of location, vocation, you know, in your career. I just think anybody, any group of people can identify to a transition. And to make gender so sacred as to say that too, unlike marriage or career or life calling or purpose or anything or family background, that can't change, I think it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
And science and medicine and psychology and all those fundamental elements to truth and even spirituality continue to confirm that, you know, that there is, it's not a black and white binary, but there are many, many beautiful shades of silver in there too.
And you are very religious or spiritual, or
yeah.
I mean, you go to church, from what I
understand. I go to Oasis City Church in Westerville. And I do want to specify that I don't even think that Oasis is openly or necessarily publicly affirming, you know, like other denominations have this public stance on it. But I have only ever been very loved and welcomed and, you know, in that church, and it's a safe place for me. And we're all kind of learning and growing together. And that's wonderful to see religious communities across the board. You know, I have friends who are Muslim, and we get into these interesting conversations about that too, that we can't really cherry pick the things that we want to include or not include, and how at the end of the day, it's just a matter of grace and love, golden rule, mercy, relationship. And those are things that all of us want to pursue.
Now you're teaching me something right now, too. Okay, so people who have worked with you consistently say, and these are a quote, people have said, you have vision, you have passion, you have skills, creativity.
Thank you.
Where do you get all this kind of creative juice flowing, this artistic expression? Where does that come from?
From being trans, really, because growing up transgender, you have to create escapes. And sometimes those are healthy and other times they're not. I had a great mom who introduced me to Rodgers and Hammerstein and the old Hollywood movies and, you know, Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire and Judy Garland and Wizard of Oz, Disney movies, Lord of the Rings, all these books and movies were my escape. Mm. And I loved comic books. And so I was inundated from artists who were doing it well in all of those different facets of animation or movies or Hollywood or books or illustrators. And I would go to those places in my mind. When I would go to school, I had a watch that I used to pretend was my morpher from Power Rangers. And I would, it would project this image of a little boy, and that's what everyone else would see, but I knew that I was like an undercover superhero.
Nice.
Or something. And that can you imagine walking around having to like remove yourself from your own life? And that was how I could be at peace with this, because it was keeping me safe. So now that I'm an adult and I've decided to live my life in a way that makes me happy and that is honest and transparent, I say I walk in the light now, that I bring all of those creative experiences as an art director, as a photographer, and as a visual merchandiser or event producer. You're trying to create an experience.
Right.
You're trying to create an escape or a message or a metaphor. And so it just seamlessly, for me, it just kind of seamlessly transitioned. Also, God gifted me with some artistic ability, and my mother always fostered that and put me in art school and encouraged it, would buy me canvases. And I mean, she was okay with me being creative that way.
Nice.
So it just then I just got a corporate background, and I got a great education, and I continued to pursue it. I didn't go really on vacations or summer camps. I just wanted to draw and read, and I would make wallpaper in my dorm room out of fashion magazines, where I would tear images I liked out, glue them to like this 99-cent netting from Joann Fabrics, and because you can't, you know, pierce the wall in your dorm room.
Yep.
And so I would just tape them, and I'd make my own wallpaper.
I love it.
And people would walk in like, wait a minute, I had transformed this whole space. So escape,
yeah,
when it came to art, when it came to fashion, photography and drawing, illustration, makeup, theater, all of that just came flawlessly to me because I wanted out of my own skin.
Right. So another thing that I hear people say, and this is a quote that I've read from people working with you on your LinkedIn profile, talking about how you have this way of making people feel comfortable. And honestly, aww, you're sitting here, I feel so comfortable. I feel like I'm learning something. How do you cultivate compassion?
That's a great question. I just try and I believe people with what they show me. I want to always operate from a place of understanding. And my mother always, I revert to my mom because she just invested so much wisdom into me growing up. She was a single mom. And she would always say, whenever I wanted to make a sneer or be afraid of somebody or look at a homeless person on the sidewalk cross-eyed when I was a kid, she'd say, there by the grace of God go I.
Yep. So tell us about some more of the project that you have coming up. So we talked about Prism Magazine. What's some other stuff that you're working on?
Well, I also work with Buckeye Lifestyle Magazine. I contract with them to shoot their fashion editorials. And it's been really fun, again, seeing, you know, two different circles, because Buckeye Lifestyle is more of a lifestyle magazine and kind of appeals to a different demographic than the LGBTQ focus art, political, modern magazine. So it's nice to kind of get the two worlds.
Sure.
Where on the one, with Prism, I get to be wildly creative and throw, you know, thigh-high purple velvet boots on, you know, a model covered in tattoos. Whereas with Buckeye Lifestyle, we pick this, you know, fabulous, chic beige dress and put it on a beige model and a beige, you know, which is equally fabulous.
Sure, sure.
Very different brackets. So I have that. I, you know, I'm very much in love with my boyfriend, and
who's here today, who, by the way, while you were talking, mm-hmm, and he's really listening, I can hear him like nodding, like affirming a lot of the stuff that you're saying.
I don't see him. He's behind
I know, but I can.
Because I feel like if I look at him, I'll laugh.
I just wish Bones was here. He looks so cute.
Thank you. He's wonderful. But so, and that's just it. Another big project is just life. Because, so many years were spent wrestling with myself, that my relationship suffered, my experiences suffer. And now that I'm walking in my truth, I'm able to be a balanced person, not just the workhorse workaholic that I was, but I have healthy relationships. I have loving relationships. I've worked on reconciling within the community after being able to do that first with myself and my own reflection. And to have a little family, you know, even we actually have three dogs.
Okay.
Which and I, and to talk about our future plans of adopting kids and what that would look like. And it was amazing because I was doing some journaling and some meditating or devotions that you can call them. And I found a journal entry from about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I was in Los Angeles, and someone told me to write down, I think it was in my church in Glendale, California. They said, write down your dream come true job. If money were no problem and all social issues around you were not going to hold you back, and you could just dream big. And at the time I was like couch surfing, like many actors in LA do. And I was like, well, I just want an apartment with a fridge full of food. And they said, no, I mean, really go after it. What's the dream? And I was almost angry because I was so tired of hoping. I was still wrestling a lot with my gender identity. And I said, well, gosh. And I just sort of begrudgingly scribbled down, I wish I could be a creative director at a magazine. I wish I could, you know, get paid to put these visions out there that touch people and to tell stories in the meantime and work in conjunction with other writers and storytellers with a purpose and a mission of helping people. So there. And there's the thing that'll never happen. And I found that the other day, and tears just came pouring down my eyes. I was like, thank you, Lord. Here I am doing that.
Yep.
And but I never could have if I didn't learn how to walk in my truth and to walk honestly. So those are the projects, both professionally and also personally. You have to have a work-life balance. Mm-hmm. You have to tell yourself the truth.
That's right. Well, you certainly have arrived. So thank you for joining us at the studio today.
Rhea, I'm just so honored. And can I just say, I love your show and I love what you're doing.
Aww.
Thank you for these tools. And I just couldn't say enough wonderful things about you as a person too. So thank you, Rhea.
Looking to our next time together. Saw you pray to all. our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Ria Greif, and you've been listening to You Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.